Okay, this is part one, the title of which is God, and we're going to talk about the qualities of God, which is chapter one. And the first lesson in this chapter is titled, God is the One True God. Now, this lesson, and in fact these first few lessons, and maybe even the first couple of chapters, are going to seem a little pedestrian, and they're things that most of you, if you ever went to Sunday school, or if you have attended church for any time, or if you've just been paying attention in society, you know most of the things we'll talk about. We're going to talk about God as the creator and the sustainer of everything, and about some of his characteristics and qualities. We're not going to talk about everything in regard to God's qualities and characteristics, but we're going to talk about some important ones that will feed into the concepts that we will develop later on. Okay, God is the one true God. That's the name of this lesson. Now, there have always been substitutes for the true and living God. Many gods have been raised up throughout history, and in the United States today, there are many. And even though a lot of times we don't recognize these as gods or as idols, you can be sure that Satan or his demons are behind every one of them. A lot of times idols won't have any kind of supernatural connection, but nonetheless they are objects of worship and adoration. One example of this is money. Everyone knows what an attraction that is. The money makes the world go round, and it's like it's always the bottom line. It's everything that we find as a means to happiness and success and somehow fulfillment. So money can easily become an idol, and the more you see it in society and the more you have of it, the more you tend to make it more important than it really is, until it actually becomes a god in your life. Others include sex, addictions, pleasure, recognition, possessions, and power, and there are many more. These are false gods, exalted by many devotees. And even such innocuous things as sports can become an idol. And even a husband or a wife or a boss or the president or even a pastor can become an idol. So many things can become idols. 1 Corinthians 8:4b says, "We know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no God but one." The ultimate truth is this: everyone will learn and acknowledge sooner or later that there is only one God. Jeremiah 10:10 says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King." And being God, he can put idols in their place. Isaiah 41, verse 21 and following says this, is speaking to idol worshipers and their idols. "Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your argument, says Jacob's king. Bring in your idols to tell us what is going to happen. Tell us what the former things were, so we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so we may know that you are gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. He who chooses you is detestable." You see, the things that we rely on that exclude God have no real power. And this verse says that they are less than nothing. When you think about that, less than nothing means negative. That means it can actually work against you or pull you down. An idol can actually undermine or destroy your Christian life. In Deuteronomy 32:39, God says, See that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. And in Psalm 50:22, we see furthermore what can happen when we do this, when we say there is another God besides God. This is what happens when we ignore God. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. That sounds serious. God's rightful place as the only God is well established. Psalm 82:18 says, let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the most high over all the earth. He is unique and distinct, our ultimate superior. We can draw no other conclusion than this: God alone is God. We see this again in Isaiah 48:5, which says this, therefore I told you these things long ago. Before they happened, I announced them to you, so that you could not say, my idols did them. You see, my money did this. My money solved my problem. And then the verse continues, my wooden image and metal God ordained them. Idols can accomplish nothing. They are less than nothing. Finally, in Psalm 86:10, we see, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. All that we will study in this course is predicated on the existence of the one true God. That's the beginning of all faith and all understanding. Failure to accept and honor this reality is the basis for all the bad that will ever transpire. An acceptance of it brings great promise that good can come to a dark and dismal world. Seeing God as God and recognizing His supremacy in all that exists is the foundation for all the truth we will ever practice, all the good we will ever do, and all the prayers we will ever pray. The search is over. We have found God. He has announced Himself, and ours is but to accept His word as truth. Having acknowledged this, then we can move on and launch a full quest for complete understanding of God. Question one at the end of the lesson is, how many true gods are there? Question two, name some false gods or idols in your society. Question three, privately answer this. Do you have idols or things that pull you away from God? Some extra scriptures we put at the end of the lesson include Exodus 3:14a, which is a place where God said to Moses, I am who I am. And in 1 Corinthians 8:6, it says, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. And the conclusion is, there is one God. He is our God and our Father. He alone is God.